All of us have certain views and attitudes about life. Through a variety of experience, we develop patterns of thought, of activity, and acceptance, considering some things more important than others. We observe us. We look at our actions and our reactions, judging what we have done. Regardless of our conclusions, we feel there must be more to life than the repetitive activity that we have set in motion. Our desire is for a greater experience, one larger and finer than our current condition. We recognize the need to change and to adapt, and we wonder what we can do to make it happen. What are the tools necessary to shape a new pathway of response? Someone has said, thinking makes it so. Is that the missing link? Would a new method of thinking be the way of redemption? So we question, we study, and we contemplate. We learn a principle and law of power and control. We are aware of the law of cause and effect, reminding ourselves that actions have consequences. The law reveals that power belongs to cause and not to effect. Effect is always the result. It is never the original motivating force itself. If we do not like the outcome or the consequence, we can change it. However, in order to change it, we must return to its cause, to the power that set it in motion. To understand causation as the source of activity, we must study it. Exactly what is its power? And where does it come from? Now, in its highest form, there is first cause, out of which all things are made. God is first cause. All power belongs to God. Those who seek improvement consider the work of first cause. The desire is to learn of its power and the activity that brings it into manifestation. We reason that if this is the highest form of expression, and that all else proceeds out of it, then all other forms of activity must be subservient to it. We've also noticed that while the result of the conclusion is visible, the power that sets it in motion is not. It is invisible, not seen by the human eye. Since first cause is an activity of God, then the way to learn of first cause is through a study of religion. Therefore, the search begins. The receptive individual seeks knowledge beyond the normal avenues of human acceptance, and he begins right where he is at that moment. That is all he can do. He begins with an open attitude, receptive to deeper realms of information, broadening his level of understanding and acknowledgement. Growth allows for expansion. However, we can only demonstrate from where we are now. All growth and improvement is a process, increasing to greater wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Furthermore, it cannot be rushed. The rule of expression is from the inner to the outer. The creative activity of inner being gives visibility to the invisible. What was previously unseen we now see, and what was hidden is revealed. This is true of all life, including man. There comes a time in the lives of all those who reach out to God when the experience of God realization takes place. The promise is, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The key word is persistence. I have already described this as a process, one that comes about in bits and pieces, unfolding in time and degree. Staying true to our practice, we mature in our ability to listen in an inward way. What was hidden is revealed. When we are persistent in our study of First Cause, this revelation is given. All of life is the expression of First Cause, including us. The invisible power of inner being is the creative force of all life. Without God, nothing was made that was made. Now we know that we are of God. It is He who hath made us, and not we ourselves. In order to change our view of life, our opinion of us, we lift our sense of identity from the lesser to the greater. Living in the realm of inner awareness, we are one with its activity. We walk a new pathway, displaying the attributes of the spiritual self. Now, when we do this, we are on the way to greater revelation and realization. However, as I say, we must be persistent in our desire to do so. And I do not mean just now and then. Understanding the truth of our existence is one thing. Living from that awareness is quite another matter. There are many suggestions that tempt us, inviting us to return to the familiar ways of least resistance. The path of least resistance is wide and expansive. The path of persistence is narrow and confining, demanding something greater of us. I think this may have been the experience for many of us who are here this morning. We admit that while it has been an interesting and rewarding journey, it has not been an easy one. Our search for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding has led us to study a mystical interpretation to life. Now, there have been those moments when we actually did get it. It seemed like the floodgates of heaven opened, pouring out God's blessings, all of God's wisdom and knowledge necessary to experience such a life. We learned of the intangible, invisible fruit of the Spirit. All of this revelation, all of this activity, took place in our individual consciousness, our seat of awareness. The law of expression takes us from sense awareness to soul awareness in consciousness. The activity in consciousness is not visible to the human eye. However, it is alive in us. We feel it, we sense it, and we know it. Divine science teaches the art of meditation, that time when we enter the sanctuary of our soul's awareness. There we learn of the secrets of life, the reality of existence. I dare say that to a certain degree, Each one of us has done this. We may have heard marvelous things, and at that moment in time, we might have felt that we have actually arrived, forever one with the reality of all life. In addition, we were certain that we would never be the same again. Now, at first, we may not have realized the need to consciously nurture and cherish our newly established unity with First Cause. However, like any relationship, it demands attention, constant vigilance, and care. This is the purpose of meditation. In meditation, the little self steps aside, the lesser gives way to the greater. This is true communion. Daily we climb the mountain of high consciousness, alone and secure in the presence of our Father, which art in heaven. Nevertheless, because of the pressures of human life, this God experience does not remain a permanent dispensation. It is possible to have the realization of God one day, thereby experiencing His presence, and yet, a day or two later, find ourselves leading much the same kind of human life as before. Even those who are far along the spiritual path admit there are those times when, for no reason at all, fear grips them, or a feeling of doubt and uncertainty may overwhelm them. And we wonder why. Why does this happen? This is nothing more than the activity of world thought, the race mind, the carnal mind, which intrudes into the consciousness of every individual. Yes, even though we have attained a degree of spiritual understanding, the knowledge of the work of First Cause, still, the world has a way of intruding in our Garden of Eden. The world has its not-so-subtle ways of getting our attention. I assure you that God is always present. God does not leave us nor forsake us. However, there are those times when our vision is not quite high enough, our mind and our body not quite still enough and quiet enough to receive Him. Remember, this is a state of consciousness. It is our place of awareness. And if we entertain the thoughts that intrude, we will enjoy or suffer the consequences of what we have done. Let us not forget about the law of cause and effect. Through the act of persistence, we demand the higher way, the pathway of deeper acceptance. I remind you that for this to be our place of habitation, our second nature, we must nurture it and maintain it on a daily basis. Some call it prayer without ceasing. Most authors have something to say about this. Joel Goldsmith told us that we do not jump into heaven and stay there. Manna falls daily. Daily we feast on spiritual refreshment. Lifted consciousness receives what is necessary for the day. Now, Jesus did not have just one realization and then stayed there. No, He climbed that mountain many, many times. Actually, we are told many times a day. Jesus understood the necessity of staying connected to First Cause, to His invisible source. This was His sustenance, and without it, He could do nothing. Jesus was our way shower. Let us pay close attention to what He had to show us. He knew that God is First Cause. and its movement is a creative activity. Accepting first cause to be creative reveals the role of a creator and a creation. This suggests a father and a child, and the possibility of a personal relationship. Jesus had this relationship with God, and he called him Father. And God knew Jesus by his true name, Christ, calling him his only begotten Son. Jesus showed us the way. He told us that each one of us shares the name Christ, and that God considers each of us his only begotten child. Yes, Jesus addressed God as Father, giving all glory to the one who created him and sent him into expression as himself. The lesson of the spiritual life is that God will do the work. However, there must be an act of surrender on our part, a surrender of the personal self. The personal self has no power of its own, and yet, if in our time of immaturity we give it power, we are giving power where it does not belong. There must be a transition, an awakening, a rising out of the indolent characteristics of the human mind, which bind us to that rut of laziness and repetition. The command is given, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, all of this transitioning, awakening, and rising takes place in consciousness. The invisible power of lifted consciousness reveals the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we speak of the illumined individual. Through a moment of illumination, a time of spiritual enlightenment, the awakened individual is no longer that man of dust, the one of the earth. Rather, he is now that man who has his being in Christ, a conscious child of God. From that moment on, this individual assumes the role of way shower. Jesus showed us the way, announcing that what he had done, others can do also. Now he can speak in this way because it is revealed in him that this is so. God is no respecter of persons. His power and authority are available to all who are ready and willing to be led by Spirit. Speak, Lord, I am listening. This morning I have discussed the work of First Cause. The title of today's lesson is The Invisible Power. Let us see how this applies to the illumined individual. I begin with the invisible power of spiritual consciousness. Can you imagine what life would be like if lived from the awareness of Christ consciousness? What would be the experience if we came under the care and guidance of divine order? When we followed the dictates of the world order, we fell victim to the activity of opposites, sometimes love, sometimes fear, sickness or health, famine or abundance. The power that we gave them reacted on us in various ways. However, when we are no longer controlled by their appearance, but are controlled only by our realization of the presence of God. When this happens, we will find, as Paul did, that these things no longer move us. Remember, all activity takes place in consciousness. The power of spiritual consciousness lifts us out of the ordinary, revealing the existence of a realm of life governed by first cause. There is an invisible force operating in the world and in us. And its function is to harmonize, to bring peace and stability to all who dwell within. Next, I will discuss the invisible power of I am. Now, these are just two little words, and yet, when spoken, we use them to claim our identity. And what we say after them reveals our personal sense of whom we think we are. What we claim for ourselves manifests in ways compatible with our intent and purpose. With lifted consciousness, the personal sense of self is elevated to the one who has his being in Christ. And what we claim after the words, I am, bears witness to what belongs to that name. The illumined individuals are those in whom the child of God has been raised up. And when they listen for that still small voice, it will speak and it will say, I am in the midst of thee, and I in the midst of thee am mighty. I in the midst of thee am bread, meat, wine, and water. Because I am in the midst of thee, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. This I am in the midst of us is Christ. Christ in the midst of us is our identity. What we claim in his name is ours by right of first cause, out of which all things are made. I will discuss the invisible power of silence. In quietness and confidence shall be our strength. We enter the silence to commune with God, to listen with the inner ear and perceive with the eye divine. In the silence, there is an inner peace, a sense of serenity, not known by that man of human awareness. Inwardly we acknowledge, the Father and I are one. There is none else. When we are still enough and quiet enough, the windows of heaven open, pouring out a blessing beyond our capacity to receive, and we hear marvelous things. Joel Goldsmith called this the thunder of silence. The invisible power is given from on high. The invisible power of spiritual consciousness, of the I am presence, and the silence. The command is given, turn within, and you will find me. This morning we have the opportunity to acknowledge him in all of our ways. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we claim a moment of silence. In the silence, we are in God's presence. Give no thought is the command of the soul. In the absence of thought, we sense and we feel in an inward way. God is here, in the midst of us. The invisible power, the unseen hand, guides and it directs. When the soul is in charge, there is no stress or strain. No reaching, searching, or seeking. The divine influence permeates every aspect of our being. There is no place where God is not. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient. Where can we go from his presence? He stands with us in the time of trouble and tribulation. He is with us in the time of triumph and victory. He walks with us in the shadow of dark places. He takes us to the high places, and he calls us by name, revealing the truth of our being. The Father and I are one. There is none else. This is our sufficiency. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto
go in peace and have a blessed week.